to the Maine Outdoors.
Welcome to the Maine Outdoors. Here's tonight's host, V. Paul Reynolds.
Well, you know, the days are getting a little bit shorter. I noticed that tonight on the way in.
Driving over here, yeah.
Driving in.
Last week you and I drove over, it was light.
Yeah, and it's almost dark by the time I get here. So something must be happening there.
I would say.
Yeah, and it won't be long, we'll have a frost on the ground.
Well, we've had a couple frosts, good hard frosts.
Then it'll be deer season. Norm Plore will be out there with his bag of chili hunting a whitetail. Hey, look, we have a good show lined up tonight. We don't have a studio guest, to be honest with you, but we have two interesting, exciting, informative telephone guests, and we'll introduce them in just a second. But first, it's imperative that you know the crew who make the show possible week after week. The chief engineer, the man who's been at the controls, I don't know, 20 years plus, our friend from Fields Pond, James Layton. Take a bow, Jim.
Well, good evening, Paul. Good evening, everybody. Pull up a chair. We're going to have a great weekend. Like, say hi to Lorraine. We're going to see her tomorrow. And looking forward to a nice trip.
Okay. Who's Lorraine?
It's my cousin. Lives down in Hartford, Maine.
Oh, not a girlfriend or anything?
No. Lorraine is a long-lost cousin. We just found out we were cousins.
Oh, that's great.
Wow.
I wish I could find another cousin.
Yeah.
Hey, and with him in the...
Kissing cousin,
yeah. Yeah. With him in the studio is the sweetheart of Grand Lake Stream,
yes.
Norman F. Plore. Take a bow, Norm.
Oh, greetings. How you doing, Paul and Bob? I love this weather.
Yeah, it's a good omen, don't you think?
Oh, I saw a doe on the way in tonight. And,
oh, good for you.
Get him
all.
Season.
Got her all picked out, okay? And with him, I think he's still there, isn't he? I can't see him.
He is.
Is the Baron of Orrington, the raspberry tycoon from out there, Mr. Scotty Bates.
Yes, good evening, Paul, and good evening, everybody out there. And, hey, I made a trip up to the Alderbrook camp up in Hersey this weekend. And we saw some nice leaves, saw a few birds.
Isn't the foliage spectacular?
Yeah,
it is.
Beautiful.
It is.
Yeah.
And I want to say a special thank you. I have a friend of mine that always puts a bear sight up there, puts a bear bait stand, and he was in there cleaning it all up, and you wouldn't even know it'd been there now.
So that's good.
Want to say a special thank you to Ken for the good job.
Oh, there you go.
We ought to have Scotty on some night as a guest.
We should.
Hey, he's got a lot to talk about.
Yeah.
One of your writers got a bear, my niece Erin.
Oh, I know. She's written about it in the Sporting Journal.
I haven't got it yet.
Yeah. Well, it's not out yet.
Oh, okay.
But I'm the editor, so I get a chance to see ahead of time. You know, one of the benefits of being the editor.
Good man.
Yeah. And, our esteemed co-host is a registered Maine guide. He's an author of some great fishing books, and he's a guy that just loves to be around trout country, Mr. Bob Lehman.
I certainly do. Thank you so much, and we got a lot to talk about tonight.
Indeed, we do.
Stay tuned.
And if you'd like to weigh in on our program tonight, we always encourage you to do that. You know, this is a talk show. If you want to call us, we have a statewide toll-free number.
And that is 1-800-966-1039. And even if you're local, you have to dial the whole number, 1-800-966-1039.
And if you're new to our program, it's important that we tell you that you're listening to us on the Voice of Maine News Talk Network, 103.9, 101.3, and 95.1 in Rockland.
There you go.
How'd I do?
Very good.
Thank you.
You can listen to us online at...
Oh, podcast.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep, WVOMFM.com.
Yes, sir.
And look for Maine Outdoors.
There you go. Okay, our guest tonight, in this order, our first guest is going to be Greg Burr. Greg sometimes is a host of this program. He's the regional fisheries guy down there in down East Maine, and he'll be with us tonight to talk a little bit about what's going on at Grand Lake Stream, backed up by Bob Lehman, who has some on-the-spot information.
You bet I do.
And after we talk to Greg, after the 7:30 break, we're going to get hooked up by phone to Judy Camuso. And for those of you who may not know, Judy is the wildlife director for the Maine Department of Inland Fish and Wildlife. And Judy's going to come on and interrupt her weekend to tell us a little bit about the automated tagging system, which has just been implemented by the Fish and Wildlife Department. So a good show lined up tonight. I think you'll learn a lot, and we hope you will call in if you have some comments or questions at 1-800-966-1039. Right now, time for the Outdoor Digest, brought to you by the Northwood Sporting Journal. And I want to remind you once again that we are currently at the Sporting Journal looking for part-time salespeople. It's a real opportunity for you to make some extra money part-time. We give generous commissions, and we train you. So if you're interested in becoming a part-time sales rep for the Northwood Sporting Journal. If you had, you don't have to have experience. It's nice if you do. But even if you don't, if you're good dealing with people, you like the outdoors, here's a chance for you to make some extra bucks. You can give me a call anytime during the week, 745-3133, 745-3133, or you can call my partner, Vic Morin, at 732-4880. Okay, Bob, a couple of things here. The Eagle Report was just put out by the Department of Fish and Wildlife.
Yeah.
And they're kind of interesting, Bob. They back in 2013, we had X amount of eagles. But since that time, the population, according to a survey, an aerial survey that's been done by the department, the nesting pairs of eagles, bald eagles now in Maine, is up 16%.
That's fantastic.
That's quite a hike.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
So they've done very well.
They have 101 nesting pairs of eagles, according to this survey.
Yeah,
and they were once an endangered species, so that's quite a
good story.
Quite a great story. Yeah. And they've been working with private landowners and other partners at Fish and Wildlife, and they did an aerial survey in the past year or so to find out that these eagles are doing very well. Bird hunting up north. Scotty and I went up there for a couple of days. I think we did get one bird. Scotty nailed one.
You wounded a couple, you said.
And I shot at one, missed it, you know, which is typical for
just
me.
Just one.
And but we didn't see as many birds as we'd hoped. The reports are pretty positive. We went way up. We drove 100 miles of dirt roads, went up around Haymock and that area around Chamberlain Lake, and we walked a lot in the woods. But anyway, the exciting thing that happened is we ran into a rutting bull moose on this little tote road. And Scotty gave a couple of his female cow calls, which is very good. And the moose seemed very interested. And so we did a 180, and we beat feet the heck out of there. But it was fun.
Oh, boy.
It was exciting.
Yeah, he did that last night at the party we had.
Oh, did he?
Little gathering. Fantastic. That was really good.
He does a pretty good vocalization. Yeah. Anyway, that bull was convinced, I'll tell you. And we both have had encounters with bulls. Yeah. Coming at us in our lifetime, either deer hunting or other issues. Yeah. And we know it's scary. We want to know part
That's
of that.
That's right.
But anyway, it was a fun day. The woods are just gorgeous right now.
Yeah, they are, especially up north.
Yeah, if you like the foliage, take a trip up north.
Trees and you ate the bird. Cooked it and ate it?
Yeah, we had moose burgers and a surf and turf. Moose burgers and then a little grouse. It's a partridge because he shot it on the ground.
Yeah.
But it was he sautéed it over a little bed of onions and mushrooms. And we had that with a moose.
There you go.
Moose burgers. Great. Right.
Oh, yeah. They are. They're wonderful.
They're delicious.
You know how I used to cook them? Wrap them with bacon strips.
That would be good.
And then bake them there. And that's good, Jim, isn't it?
Yeah, it sure is. Throw the bird away and eat the bacon.
Yeah, well, you could do that, too.
No,
but
no.
In this case, I eat both.
Anytime you want to throw away a partridge, give it to Paul.
That's right. Or me.
I like the partridge and bacon.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it's a good combo.
In beans, I mean.
Beans, yeah.
And beans, too, yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, they're great, however you cook them. Okay, I think we're ready now for Bob's favorite music. Do you have it queued up there, band leader?
Got to hit one.
We got to hit the button. Hit the button.
Uh-oh, we got it.
I'm the big boss bass.
Yeah.
And you work for me.
Yeah.
This is my rock.
Yeah.
These are my reeds.
Yeah.
You know, Bob does a lot better when you cue him. I like that. Let's do that from now on.
Okay.
All right. Okay. Enough of that nonsense. Okay, what's going on in the fishing world?
Well, as we talked earlier, you and I, Paul, about what's going on at Grand Lake Stream, we're going to save that for a little later because we want to talk about that with Greg, and it is a mess. I was down there.
Is it really?
Yeah, last weekend, and wait till you hear some of this stuff, Paul. You won't believe it.
All right. Well.
Anyway, we'll talk about that later with Greg.
We'll get Greg on. Greg didn't seem to indicate it was too bad. We'll get you guys can have a little tussle back and forth.
That's right. We will.
All right.
Along with some other items.
Okay. What else you got?
Well, actually, you know, the legislators have been pretty busy in Augusta. And one of the things they've come up with is a new regulation on striper fish.
Yeah.
On stripers in inland waters. And you know what it's going to be reduced to? One fish, 28 inches long. That's it.
That's it, huh?
That's it.
So they're clamping down.
They are clamping down on inland waters. I don't know. What do you think about that?
When you say inland waters, you're talking about like
above tide.
Above tide. Like if you're fishing off the Verona Island Bridge or somewhere like that?
Well, I don't know. That would be below tide, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's different.
I didn't think stripers
tidal water is different than inland, you know, above tide waters.
Do stripers get in inland waters?
Oh, absolutely. They're in the Penobscot River.
Is that an inland water if it's below tide?
Well, they'd put them over the dam.
I don't know. Yeah. Okay. All right.
Okay. Yeah, well, that's why they've come up with this law, apparently.
Yeah. Okay.
And the other thing I wanted to mention, too, is there's a petition going around Grand Lake Stream to extend the season from October 20 for fishing with no fish limit to the 31st of October.
Oh.
Okay.
Yeah.
That would be, what, 11 days?
Yeah.
11 days more?
Yeah.
And it appears the lodge owners seem to be pushing that more than anybody else down there.
But I'm sure.
They got a petition. A lot of people, I forget how many, I think they had 500 on the petitions. That's quite a lot for that area, I would think.
That is, yeah.
And what do you think of that idea?
Sounds good to me.
I wouldn't be against
no,
it.
No, I wouldn't.
No fish limit.
No.
You know, I mean, they can't keep a fish.
They can't keep a fish.
And so. You know what happens in the lake? They stop fishing the lake.
Yeah.
So the regulation would be you can go ahead and fish the lake if you want to, and but you'll have to throw back all you catch.
Yeah.
Well. And so I can't see any – that. As I said, I've been fishing down there and off the beach and the dock and whatnot in October when you're not allowed to keep a fish, and nobody fishes the lake. I mean, you don't see anybody fishing the lake. So that – and during the season, you can keep – I believe it's two salmon or two fish in the lake, and it's – there's a lot of fishermen. It's crowded. Oh, well, or not overcrowded, of course. That's a big lake. But they do have a lot of fishing going on down there, and they all put their boats away in October.
Yeah.
So I think it'd be all right.
Yeah, sounds good to me. I don't have any problem with it.
So we'll talk about the goings-on down there that's going to be very interesting, so stay tuned.
Yeah. Okay, we'll be talking to Greg Berg here in a few minutes. Mm-hmm. Right now, though, it's time for the trivia question. This is good for a subscription to the Northwood Sporting Journal. And here's the question. What does the law say about registering your game? What does the law have to say about registering your game? You know, if you shoot a deer, turkey, bear, moose, whatever. What does the law say? In other words, how long do you have? And if you know the answer, you can call us at 1-800-966-1039. And this is the first of the month, so you'll win a subscription to the Northwood Sporting Journal worth about $30. We'll be right back. Okay, we're looking for an answer to the trivia question. We want you to tell us what the law says about how much time do you have to register that game, say you're at a hunting camp or whatever. We have a caller standing by.
Yes, we have Frank from Willimantic.
Okay, Frank, welcome to Maine Outdoors.
Hello.
Yes, Frank, you're on Maine Outdoors. How are you doing tonight?
Good, good.
What do you think the answer is?
Within 24 hours.
Within 24 hours. No, sir. That's not the right answer.
No?
It's close.
I'm not sure then.
Yeah. Okay, well, we appreciate your call anyway.
Yeah.
Now, where are you calling from, Frank?
Willimantic.
Willimantic. Oh, great.
Yeah.
How are things up in Willimantic?
Good.
Yeah. Trees are really changing fast, aren't they?
They are.
Yeah.
Been bird hunting up there?
Yeah, well, we went out bird hunting up where you were. We think we ran into you up in Blair Hill.
No right kidding.
Because we ran into someone in Santa Fe that saw a bull moose. So.
Yeah, well, maybe we passed each other up there.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a beautiful day though. Great to be out in the woods. Yeah. Well, we appreciate you playing the game. Sorry, you didn't have the right answer, Frank.
Okay.
All right. Take care. Bye bye. All right, do we have anybody else?
Yes, we have Bob from Castine.
Okay, Bob from Castine, you're on Maine Outdoors.
Good evening, Paul.
Good evening to you, sir. How are you doing?
I think the answer to this is you have 18 hours, or you need to let a warden know why you can't register that moose within 18 hours. And if you're in unorganized territory, you have 7 days or until you come out to register that animal.
Now that's a precise answer.
That's a winner.
It is, isn't it?
You must have your hands on a copy of the law book.
No, sir, I have personal experience with it.
Oh.
I had a warden give me a summons once for my moose not registered in within 18 hours.
Oh, no kidding.
And he ended up tearing the summons up after he talked to a few other wardens.
Something you well remembered.
Okay, you never forget those lessons, do you?
Never forget that lesson. So.
Well,
right.
Okay. Bob, congratulations. You've won a subscription to the Northwood Sporting Journal, and we'll... If you'll stay on the line, Norm Plord will get your address, and we'll make sure you get signed up tomorrow.
Sounds good. You guys have a good evening.
Okay, you too. Thanks for the call, Bob.
Thank you, Bob.
Bye-bye. Okay, yep, bye-bye. All right, that is the right answer. Bob, you have 18 hours to get that animal tagged, or if you're at a camp in an unorganized territory or you're tending out or whatever, if you want to stay there, you can stay there a week.
Mm-hmm.
And
you don't have to notify anybody. You stay there a week.
No, you stay there for 7 days.
If you're not in unorganized territory, then you have 18 hours.
18 hours, yep.
Not a full day.
That's right. That's right. Okay, that's the correct answer. And now I think we're going to get hooked up with Greg Burr. Do we have Greg on board?
I'm here.
Hey, Greg, how are you tonight?
Yes, Greg.
Good. How are you guys tonight?
Oh, great.
Fine. Nice to have you with us, Greg. I guess most folks who listen to the show regularly know who you are. You're a regional biologist, fisheries biologist. And Bob and I want to get you on to, I think Bob wants to take you to the woodshed. I'm not sure.
I wouldn't say the woodshed, no.
But before Bob jumps you, though, I'm going to give you an opportunity to explain to Bob and I and our listeners what's going on down there at Grand Lake Stream, Greg. So go ahead.
Yeah, the hatchery is doing an upgrade. They haven't upgraded their facility since the 1960s. So they're putting in a deep water line, which is a first, and it's going to be 2 miles up the lake, the intake will be just north of Munson Island. And they're redoing the shallow line. And once they have both lines in, they can mix and have the temperature that they need to not only grow salmon but also brook trout. As you're well aware, 2 summers ago we had high temperatures in the 80s for water temperatures in the hatchery, and we lost about 25,000 brook trout. So we put in a proposal to go with a deep water line to get more cooler water. So that we'd make sure that wouldn't happen again, and we can optimize growth on the salmon and the brookies. So that's going on right now. It should be done probably by mid-November sometime. Things have been going slowly. They're making progress. I think the deep water line is almost up to Munson Island now, and the shallow water line is going a little slower, but they're making progress there as well. So right now they've had a little bit of siltation coming from the work site where the pipe is coming through the berm, coming through the dam, and that siltation has been coming down into the stream. They've got siltation fences up, but it's not containing all that silt. The water flow is about 350. We had requested when we met with Woodland Pulp to have it between 250 and 500, and they said that it could accommodate us with 350. So water temperatures are dropping. We should be down below 60 degrees now up there, and with good flows, it should be bringing salmon up from Big Lake as well as down from West Grand, and the fishing should be getting good, we hope.
Okay, Bob Lehman, Bob's sitting here grimacing. Go ahead, Bob.
Well, Greg, I was down there for 3 days at the end of September, and the river was a mess. I mean, they had been dredging, apparently, up in the lake, and it was like fishing the bayous, like down around Georgia or somewhere.
Right.
You know about it, probably. But the big thing about it was that they didn't tell us. Nobody mentioned it to any of these fishermen that are coming into these lodges and whatnot. Nobody knows. And they, get reservations, and they find themselves leaving because the fishing was terrible.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really a shame that there was no notification on this to a lot of people. I talked to a number of people those few days that I was there, and we came back early because it was so bad. And the other thing was that I wanted to, several other things. One of the things, you drained the canal out, right?
Yes.
And you're going to put the pipes down through the canal of the hatchery, the new pipes?
No, that section is not going to be replaced for a few years yet.
Okay. You're going to fill the, when you get done with the pipe, main pipes, you're going to fill the canal back up?
Yes.
You are. I know that. How did you get the trout out of the canal and put them in the river?
Well, I just pulled the screen there at the end of the canal.
Right. And,
yep. Well, and the water
trout,
just
I saw that. They were
and,
all. You drained yep. all the water out of it. Were the
right.
trout bouncing around in there and you went in and netted them out? How'd that work?
No, they just flushed them right out through.
Oh, like, yeah, they came right out through?
They came right out through, yeah.
Oh, that's great. You left the net right there and ran right down the river with them.
Yep.
That's, well, good. You saved a lot of them because we did catch a few trout.
Okay.
And they were nice specimens,
good.
Too.
That's good.
Yes.
Hey, Greg,
yep.
let me ask you this question. I to be honest with you, you sort of indicated this was just a minor thing, and Bob was pretty exercised about it. I'm kind of in the middle because I really haven't seen it. But the sedimentation, how serious is that? I mean, we know that when you have flowing water will cleanse itself pretty quickly. But is there still a sedimentation issue there? Does that have any long-term effect?
Well, it shouldn't have much long-term effect. You know, the sedimentation is coming from that hole in the dam there where they broke a pipe off when they were trying to, you know, put in the new pipes onto the old one. So they had to dig in and replace everything. So that's taken longer than they had anticipated.
Okay, Greg, we're going to take a short break.
Sure.
We'll finish up with you right after the break if you're willing to hang on.
That's fine.
All right,
sure.
Thanks, Greg. You stay with us.
Outdoors
be right back.
On 101.
Okay, a cup runneth over. We have two interesting guests, both of them queued up and standing by, and so we're going to a little bit of a juggling act. Judy, if you'd stand by for just a minute, we're going to wrap up with our first guest, Greg Burr, and then we'd love to talk to you about the automated tagging system. Are you still there, Greg?
Sure, I am.
Okay, Bob has a couple more questions to put to you. Go ahead, Bob.
Greg, am I correct in assuming that all of the fish in the hatchery, including the young fish and the older breeders, were dumped into the river back in July and August? And so there are absolutely no fish in the hatchery now, just empty runs?
That would be incorrect, Bob. Most of the fish were shipped over to other hatcheries in Emden and in Enfield.
Okay.
Right.
Well, some of the boys were telling me that, and people I talked to, that they dumped them into the river, but that's wrong.
That's right.
Okay, the other question I had was on the participating, they're trying to get a survey going down there to find out if you could extend the season to the 31st from the 20th of October. I know you're aware of that, and you were you against that?
Well, I can't commit to anything. I've met with the guides down there and talked to them about their wishes to extend the season. And then I met with the Augusta office and talked about what we had talked about with the guides, and they told me that they would be making a decision on that sometime in the coming future.
So, did you say you were in favor of it?
I can't comment
on that,
Bob. You
can't comment?
No.
Oh, you're beginning to sound like a politician, Greg.
I have my bosses, too.
Yeah, so. I know.
Well, you know this. There's no fish limit. And would that include the lake or just the river?
Just the stream.
Just the stream. Okay. Well,
right.
So the lake would close on the 20th, and the stream would be open to the 30th.
They haven't proposed the lake to go to the end of the month.
The lake would go to the end of the month?
No, they haven't proposed that.
Oh, they haven't proposed that. Oh, well, that's just as well because nobody's fishing the lake anyway in October. I mean, it's dead.
Okay.
And but I'll tell you one thing: the hatchery boys like to get out, and that would shut the lake off right there when they start running those fight nets and trap nets out there. So, anyway, so that wouldn't work out.
Their nets in about the 19th.
Yeah, that wouldn't work out there. So, anyways, but the stream, you say? Well, there's no fish limit, and we have like the East Outlet. That's same thing. They go on practically the whole year up there, right?
Right.
So I can't see anything wrong with the stream. It's going to be pretty cold. It'll be a lot of freezing mornings.
right.
You know, so I think it'll be all right.
Sure. Well, we'll see how that all goes.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. Well, we'll be eager to find out what what your boss decides with on regard to what Bob was just talking about. One other quick question, then we're going to have to get to our next guest. What's the price tag on this refitting of the hatchery?
It's just under $4 million.
Wow. Is that, where's that fund? Is that partly federal funding or what?
Well, that actually came from the governor's office.
Oh, no kidding.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, from the general fund, right?
I believe that's where he got that from, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, great.
Yep.
Okay,
yep.
Super. Hey, we appreciate you taking the time to be with us, Greg. And I'll see you next week. You and Dale Wheaton will be with us, right?
Yeah, two weeks from now.
Oh, 2 weeks from now. That's right. Two weeks from tonight. Okay.
Yep.
All right. Great. Sounds
Thanks,
good.
Guys.
Thank you, Greg.
Yeah,
appreciate
thank
it.
Thank you, Greg. Good night.
Yep.
Yeah.
Bye-bye. Okay, that was Greg Burr, who's the regional fisheries biologist down East Maine, talking about the Grand Lake stream situation. Sounds like things are going to come back all right, huh?
Well, you know, overall, it's probably a damn good idea that they've revamped that place down there because they've been losing fish.
Oh, yeah.
You know, on the count of the – this past year, you know what it was in August. It was desperate. And last year was even worse.
You bet.
And they lost a lot of fish in that hatchery. And it's if they had some colder water, some way of getting the water colder into the hatchery, just a few degrees, they would save those fish. So it sounds like it'll work out great.
All right, track. Okay, we have Judy Camuso standing by. Are you still with us, Judy?
I am.
Thank you. Thank you for your patience. I'm sorry we're so late getting to you. I know you're on your weekend, but we appreciate your taking time to be with us. Judy, you're the, I think I got your title right, you're the wildlife director for Fish and Wildlife, right?
That's right, yep.
Yeah. What we wanted you to come aboard and tell us a little bit about the automated tagging system, and I guess that's just been implemented, right?
Yep, we have a new web-based game registration portal. So when folks harvest an animal and they bring it to a registration station to be tagged, instead of the tagging agent writing everything down by hand, they are going to go onto a website, basically, and it's a system that interfaces with our license system, so they can enter everything in directly, and the licensee, the hunters, all their information will pop right up. It's a much faster system. It gives us immediate results, so we know every day how much the animal's been harvested. You could sort it by town, by taggies, and by hunter.
So when I go into Joe's Market to tag my 6-point buck this fall, when I go in there, do I sit down at a computer? Ultimate. Do I enter the data?
No,
or?
You don't.
They do it right there,
so,
right?
The tagging agent would do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what happens ideally is that you would just give them your license number, and they would pull up, and you know your name presumably would come up, and they would say, "Is this accurate? Is the address still accurate?" Yes. Yes. And then it will actually show what licenses you have, so what authorities you have to be hunting. And
I see.
So, and you would say, you know, adult male, and they would fill in all the biological information just like they did.
It's online right now as we speak, right?
Oh, yeah.
The system's working?
Definitely. There are no paper books anymore.
Yeah. Well, that's a vast improvement. I know over the years, when I used to work at Fish and Wildlife, I could never figure out why it took until April to get the harvest report for deer for the previous fall. And I know a lot of the stuff was in shoeboxes or the back seat of a warden truck or whatever. So this will allow you to really find out what the harvest is pretty quickly, right?
I can tell you right now how many moose have been harvested, how many deer have been harvested, how many deer.
Well,
yeah. In the past, you know, there were definitely challenges with the collecting the books, and so some people just didn't send the books in. We would send people out; they couldn't find them.
Oh yeah,
you know,
yeah.
For whatever reason, it took a long time to get the books collected.
Yeah.
So right now, we are in a much better place, and we have immediate access to the total number of animals harvested, the days they were harvested, the towns they were harvested. I think the hunters are going to be much happier. It's going to give them much better information. And everybody that I know that's gone out and already harvested, the other sort of perk to the hunter is if we have your email address, which for a large portion of our hunters we do, it sends you an automatic email receipt that gives you all the information, the field number.
Oh, that's great.
If you wanted to have a taxidermy mount made or anything like that, you would have all that information, the date you harvested it and when you registered it, the sex and, adult or all that kind of stuff gets emailed directly to you, so you would have it for your file.
That's neat. So would the would Joe Citizen be able to access this entire, say he's interested in the deer harvest at the end of the season? Can I or anybody access that whole database?
So not right now, no. But we've been sort of working through it in phases, and the first phase was, of course, to have the tool that the registration agents are going to use.
So maybe sometime down the line, this might happen, where anybody could look at
some of it. Some of it's, of course, like protected, so not everybody wants everybody to know where they were hunting or that sort of stuff. But we should be able to have the town data up, the town kill data up much faster. At the end of each season, we should be able to have it compiled within, basically, to get back to your trivia question.
So if my buddy here, Norm Plord, want to look up and find out exactly where I got that deer, he couldn't do that, right?
No, he couldn't.
I wouldn't want him to do that, no. He wouldn't.
I could, though.
You could. Well, you're okay. I just don't want Norm to be able to tell.
Yeah. You got to be connected. You got to be connected.
Yeah. Well, that's great. Now, are all of the tagging stations online, or do you have some holdbacks who don't have computers or whatever?
We don't have, we really believe that we needed to go kind of all in on this for it to be effective and to really provide the efficiency. Half the stations were using the web portal and the other half were still using paper, then we're still in the same situation having to collect those paper books and do all the hand entry.
Yeah.
I mean, the other thing, too, is that it really reduces the opportunity for errors. There's no handwriting errors, there's no transcription errors. It really should provide a much more effective, more accurate data as well. So we basically, there are no agents right now that are operating on paper.
Okay.
And so everybody went over to
Did you have to sort of streamline the tagging stations? I mean, were there some that just wanted no part of it because they weren't computer
literate? There were a few that didn't want to deal with a computer. They don't have a computer. They only register a few animals, and we worked hard to try and help folks and help them acquire a tablet or something that you could use this. I mean, as an agent, you could use a phone to use the system. I mean, it's as simple as ordering something off of Amazon.
Okay.
It's very intuitive, simple. I mean, it might be kind of small on a phone, but it could be done. So we worked hard to try and help people. There were a few stations that dropped off. And then a couple other signed on. Yeah. So some of the stations that dropped off had already decided they were done registering animals.
Yeah.
Anyway, so but
Is there a place where a person could look to see a list of tagging stations?
Oh sure, yeah, that's on our website.
Oh, that is listed right on your website, right?
Yeah. Oh, it should be under the hunting.
And so anything on that website would be an automated station then, right?
Only stations we have are automated.
They're all automated, yeah.
All they're all using the web portal.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, that's great.
We actually brought on a contract person, and she went around along with our regional biologists and wardens and trained every single station in person, and so that everybody had time to ask questions, to practice it, to play with it. We have a call center, so if people are having problems, there's a 24-hour call center, plus we have several staff people available on key days to help for backup if stations are having trouble. The biggest problem we've had so far, which is getting less and less, is that people forget their login. So that's the number one call we get is people forget their login.
The password.
The more time you do it, the more.
Yeah, I know. Exactly. I know about that. We all forget our password.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that is great. What is the cost of tagging an animal, has that gone up or is that about the same?
No, it's the same.
What is it now, $2, $5?
I think it's $4.
Oh, it's $4 now, yeah.
Station, $2, yeah, something yeah. I can
remember. Yeah, I can remember when it used to be a buck.
Except for turkeys.
Yeah.
I think
All right. Well, Judy, thank you very much. I know that this is your weekend, and we appreciate you taking the time out to be with us.
Oh, happy to. Great. Right. Well, thanks so much for inviting me.
All right. You have a good weekend, and we'll talk to you later. Thank you
thanks,
so much.
You too.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Bye-bye,
bye-bye,
Judy.
Bye-bye.
Yeah. All right. That's interesting. Progress, huh?
I should say so. Yeah. The computer is taking hold of everything, isn't it?
Yeah. You know, this is a good thing because I can, thinking about while she was talking, that this will also allow biologists to make decisions, need good data. And this spring, they didn't know. I couldn't get the fall deer harvest.
Right,
I couldn't get it until almost May.
Wow. Can you imagine that?
That's like 6 months.
I mean, there's no need to that.
So now, not only laymen like us, but also the biologists will have
supposedly
quicker access to the data.
You hopefully will have it.
Yeah. So that's good. And I don't know if you heard what she said, but later on they hope to make it so that if Norm Plord wants to look up and figure out where I killed a deer, that he can try to find out. Right?
Right.
Yeah. So that's good.
Yep.
Right,
you want to do the, yes.
Oh.
You want to do the ad now?
Oh, yeah, let's, time to make a buck,
yes.
And then Norm wants to give his dissertation on Judge Kavanaugh. We'll have that right after.
Do we really want to go down that road?
Come on.
No.
All right, boys.
Heaven forbid.
Okay.
All righty, ahead.
Then. How could anybody not go to the General Appliance Store in Brewer? They have some of the best things over there that you'd really want if you got a camp, especially, you know, they have gas lights, gas ranges, gas refrigerators, gas freezers, and top of the line, compost toilets.
Ride the wave, baby.
That's right, Jimmy, and thank you ever so much. Yeah.
Oh, I thought Jim was gone. He's still there.
He's still there.
Okay.
He wanted to get his 2 cents worth in.
You bet.
You bet.
Okay. Yeah, they're great folks to do business with. Al Elkins, honcho
he's
over there.
He's a peach. He's a nice guy. And I've dealt with him myself, so have you. Yeah. I know Norm and I guess other boys out in the control room have dealt with him, and a lot of our guests have, and they're very satisfied.
And they have both
very
new
satisfied.
And used appliances, right?
Yeah, they do.
Electric
and
propane.
New and used, and he collects old radios. You know that?
I knew that, yeah.
Yeah. Yep. I was going to mention the compost toilets. Have you ever used one?
I can't. To be honest with you, I haven't.
No, but I have.
But
I have.
Yeah. Well,
they're really quite. They're not that big.
Nice, aren't they, Bobby?
Yeah. You could put them in a. You could put them in a closet.
Okay.
And they're, as I said, not that big. No running water.
Yeah.
And no plumbing, and no septic system to worry about.
Yeah.
And no leach fields or any of that stuff. And no, and the environment is happy. They're all happy with that thing.
Yeah.
And. And the advanced technology with that is amazing.
No odor.
Yeah. And the big thing is there's no mosquitoes.
That's right.
You're inside.
Yeah.
You don't have to go run way out, half mile away to use the outdoor.
Yeah. I always liked that walk to the outhouse myself.
You did?
I don't know what it is in the woods.
Is
nice little
night?
Walk to the outhouse. Don't you, Scotty?
Yes, it's refreshing.
I like walk to an outhouse.
Oh, yeah,
and
we
back.
All love that, Paul. We really love doing that, yeah. And you know the nicest thing about General Appliance in Brewer? You can get there so easily. You come across the Old Bangor Brewer Bridge, take a right and a left, and you're on Center Street, and they got practically the whole block there. You can't miss them. Used to be Perkins Appliance, and that's the place to go for all of your gas needs and electrical needs. And the biggest thing about it, they sell all of our books over there.
Yes, they do.
They certainly do. Big display. You come right in, and they're right there.
Yeah. And I have three books over there, Backtrack, Deer Hunter's Logbook and Maine Angler's Logbook, and they make great Christmas presents.
Right? That's a thought, yeah.
So, I mean, what a great gift for an outdoors person.
I've got
person,
trolling flies.
Yes, you do.
Trolling flies is there. Fly Fishing Maine is there.
Yeah.
And Salmon Angler is there.
Yeah, and
Salesman Angler.
And Norm's going
to read.
And Norm's getting ready to put a book together on making great chili.
Great chili.
So he'll have a book over there before you know it.
Have you tried his chili? Norm's chili?
Have I tried it?
Yeah.
Don't you remember I called the volunteer fire department to put the fire out?
Well, I didn't try it. I didn't dare to try it.
It was Norm has taken a lot of flack
yes,
over
he
that.
Did.
And he apologized. He got a little heavy with the jalapenos.
I feel for the poor fellow, don't you?
Yeah, he doesn't deserve all the flack he's taken. Anyway, General Appliance, they sponsor us, and we patronize them, and we urge you to do the same.
You certainly do.
Okay, we're on Maine Outdoors on the Voice of Maine News Talk Network, and we have some phone lines busy here, so let's take a call. Good evening, caller. You're on Maine Outdoors.
Yes. I was talking with one of the tagging stations, one of the workers that work in the tagging station in the Lincoln area during bear season. And one night the computer was down. He's got four bear in the dooryard, and he doesn't know what to do with them. He just took their information and maybe had somebody put it in later. The state did not do anything to connect Wi-Fi to a lot of these stores or provide them with tablets. A lot of stores, tagging stations in this area, I think there's only one left in the greater Lincoln area that tags anything because of this. And to say the state computers don't go down, I'm a registered nurse. I couldn't get my nursing license. The computers were down. This is well from being ironed out according to the tagging stations and their employees.
Okay, so now we're hearing the rest of the story, I guess, huh?
Yeah. They did do nothing. They told, if you want a tag, you get your own computer, your own Wi-Fi, your own tablets, the training. I mean, a lot of these mom-and-pop stores that are open 5 in the morning to 10 at night have a dozen part-time workers for 7 days a week. They all didn't get the training. Mm-hmm. They have no clue on how to do it.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a done deal. I'm sure it's a work in progress, but...
Yeah, I think that's probably it. Any of these programs have growing pains. It's too bad you hadn't had a chance to put that to Judy Camuso while we had her on the line to see what she had to say.
Nobody was accepting phone calls at that time.
Oh, okay. Well, we apologize for that. Anyway, interesting points you make. I had a feeling probably there would be some instances like this, and we'll have to see what happens.
Now, like you say, it's a work in progress. It'll take time.
Yeah.
Whether it's going to be better than the old system, I think it's an added expense to the tagging system.
Yeah.
They don't have Wi-Fi in Ashland, Maine. What are you going to do?
Yeah. Well, that was one of my thoughts while she was talking. I got to thinking about, I know there are probably a lot of these remote stores don't even want to have a computer in the store. So changing times.
It is.
All right. And where are you calling us from?
Lincoln.
And you got your bear this year?
No. I let some smaller one go. I had several baits out. I've got SIM cards of one bear. I'm going to say between 400 and 500 pounds.
Oh, no kidding.
7 minutes after I leave.
Isn't that always the case? Yeah.
Next year, I got to have somebody drive the truck out 15 minutes early. I don't know if my wife wants to sit there, but.
There you go. Well, you had a good time, didn't you, in the woods?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it always is.
Trail cam pictures are gorgeous. I'm going to have a couple framed and just put in the garage so I can show my buddies. It was a good year.
Yeah, that's good. I guess overall, it's been a pretty good bear season for most of the bear guides, hasn't it, from everything I've heard?
Yeah, from what I'm hearing up here, we got 3 or 4 lodges in Lincoln.
Yeah.
They did well. It was a good bear year. They hit the baits the first 2 weeks when the bears were right. They kind of left them, but then they started coming back the last 2 weeks or so
in
the season once the berries were down and before the apples really started to ripen and fall.
Yeah.
And that's usual for every year.
Yeah. You're probably starting to think a little bit about deer season, right?
I've got 2 English set of bird dogs I've been running.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, you're busy.
Bought one out of Utah that's just turned a little over a year old, and he's a puppy,
that's great.
Shot 3 or 4 woodcock over him, and
good.
Starting to pick up the pieces and put it together. So
I had an English setter, and she was a sweetheart, Sally, and I sure miss her. Yeah,
she was
the most affectionate dog there is.
Yeah, they are. Yeah, I loved her. All right, well, we appreciate the call, and good luck to you in the bird woods.
Okay, thank you very much.
Take care. Yeah,
have a good evening.
You too. Yeah,
you too. You know, it's good to hear him say they're really conservationists, aren't they? He is not. They're not that bad of guys as you might think. He let a bear go.
Oh,
and
sure.
A lot of guys let bear go.
Oh, I've let many bear go.
Yeah, there you are. See?
Either because it was a sow with cubs, or I just thought the bear was too small.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you know, you don't hear things like that.
Oh, yeah. But that happens a lot.
Sure.
We have another caller?
Yes, we do.
Good evening, caller. You're in Maine Outdoors.
How you doing tonight, gentlemen?
We're doing great.
Thank you.
How about you?
Pretty good. I'd like to get back to Grand Lake Stream, though.
All right.
I'd really like to get back to Grand Lake Stream. But I was wondering about the sediment running down the river during the salmon spawn. How is this going to affect the salmon in the long term?
I think that they've pretty much got that cleared up by now. Most of that was when they were dredging up above the dam. They were taking out a lot of the old piping, a lot of rocks, things like that, trying to clear the area. And they've moved their big barge way up by, when I was there at the end of September, they'd moved their big barge and their piping and all that was way up at the end of this side of Munson Island. So they're pretty much away from the dam. But I think you might get a little sediment, but I don't think you notice it that much in the river right now.
How about the water flows through the dam right now?
Well, they had cut it when I was there. They had cut it to 200, which was desperate. But right. I guess according to after I left, they put it back up around 3, which isn't too bad. 350, which is pretty normal. Yeah, so it should be good. Should be good right now.
All right, and
the water temperatures.
And as far as extending the season, I think that's a great thing.
Yeah, I think overall, you know, we get a little hardship right now, and I think in the long run it would be worth it.
He also
the lodges and the deer season doesn't start till a little bit afterwards. And,
that's
you know,
true. That's right.
He likes the idea of the extension.
I mean, the extension.
He supports the extension of the season that you talked about.
Oh, really? You do?
Yeah. That's the fishing.
Yeah, in the river, you mean?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, well, there's another one that supports us. That's great.
All right, we appreciate the call. We're just about out of time, sir.
All right.
You, take care. Have a good fall.
Thanks for calling.
Thank you. All right, we are just about out of time. We appreciate you being with us tonight. Our guest next week is going to be Tim Caverly. He's an outdoor writer and a former Baxter Park director who's going to be talking to us about his new book. I think his book, Bob, is called Allagash Tales.
Oh, that'd be great. Yeah, I've been looking forward to meeting him.
It's been a while.
Oh, yeah.
So we'll see you all next week right here on
Maine Outdoors.